Great to have you in church. If you have your Bibles, let's just go. Let's just jump straight in. Romans 8, verse 31. When I was 18, one of my first jobs was a brickies labourer, a little brickies labourer. Now, the brickies labourer is the lowest position in the building site. I mean, the lowest of the low. He's lower than the pie van driver. I mean, he's the lowest, the brickies labourer. So I was with a crew of five guys, and I never made it to the cab. As a brickies labourer, you're in the tray in the back. So we had this truck, and we would all travel to the job sites together. And this truck was the oldest truck you've ever seen. It got to be, I don't know, I was going to say 1920s, but I don't think the Model T came out till, I don't know, who's old, Marsh? What, 20? 24, 25. So it was old though. And this thing only went 80 Ks an hour. Now, on the highway, that's a problem. Because the brickies labourer, you're stuck in the tray in the back, sitting there, right? So two things happen. Number one, you ain't getting paid. No travel time back then, let me tell you. It was, you don't get paid till you hit the job site. So I'm not getting paid. And then everyone hates me. Because they drive up behind when we're blocking the road. Who are they looking at? They're not looking at the driver. They're looking at me, the little brickies labourer, as I sit there on the plank and just stare out the back. And I made a vow that we got to get paid quicker. So I got to get to the job site so we can get paid. And I'm sick of people hating me because we're holding up the traffic. So one morning I went in early and I twinkled. Twinkled? Tweaked? With the motor. Now, I'm not a mechanical guy. I just saw on the movies there was this cord and it attached to the accelerator thing. And well, I don't know what that's called. But anyway, it was a bit loose. But I'll just tighten her up. So I tightened the thing up and I didn't tell anyone. Bonnet back. We jumped in. We're going 70, 80, 90, 100. I hear the guys in the cab. What's going on? What happened? 100. We're doing 120. Maybe the first time ever that truck's done 120 in 10 years that the guy has owned it. They're screaming. They're high-fiving. And we get to the job site. They want to know who did it. And I kind of sheepishly put my hand up. I didn't tell them why. I wanted more money to get to the job quicker. But I went from zero to hero. I was the lifesaver. From that moment on, we were doing 120 everywhere. We were flying. The reason for this story is most of us as Christians live like that truck doing 80, far below the capacity that God has for us. Somehow we fall into this routine of survival and we think it's okay to do 80. It's not okay to do 80 when there's more capacity in you. It's not okay that you come home from work and just sit on the couch and stare at the wall. It's not okay that you're not engaged with your spouse in some meaningful conversations. It's not okay that you're disconnected from your kids because you're stressed out. It's not okay that you're reaching to a substance to numb the pain to get you through. It's not okay. As Christians, we're born for more. And today, I want to share God's word that teaches us that we are more than conquerors. Let's go to Romans 8, 31. No. We'll start in 37, actually. Go to 37, Romans 8. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll throw it on the screen. Romans 8, 37. No, Paul the Apostle says, in all these things, we are what? Say it with me, church. We are more than conquerors. Say it again. We are more than conquerors. Say it like you believe it. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. A conqueror is a winner, a victor, a defeater. I looked up the antonym of conqueror. It's a loser. Pretty simple, eh? So we are meant to be winners, but often we live as losers. Interesting. Paul the Apostle is talking about being an overcomer, being more than a conqueror. Yet nobody knew more pain, more suffering and hardships than Paul the Apostle. Shipwrecked 3 times, beaten with rods 3 times, whipped 39 times, 5 times. That's 195 times he had been whipped. So he had scars on his back showing the pain and the suffering. He was often stoned with rocks. Just clearing that up, not that stone, with rocks. And yet, in all these hardships, Paul still confessed he was more than a conqueror. Oh, hang on a minute. I thought more than a conqueror was a pain-free life. I thought that more than a conqueror means no troubles, no hardships, no pain. No, to be a conqueror, you need to beat something. To be a conqueror, you need to overcome something. You need to have a victory over something. We are called to be conquerors, means we've got to conquer something. We have to fight something. And Paul was saying no matter what life threw at him, he boldly declared that he was more than a conqueror. And you today are more than a conqueror. And I want to talk about this. I'm going to repeat it multiple times. It's purposeful. I want it to sink into your heart. I'm going to speak a bit louder because the rain's coming. I don't want you to miss this. You are more than a conqueror. Now, the Greek word for conqueror is hupernikao. Hupernikao. It means to vanish beyond recognition, to gain a decisive victory, exceedingly more than a conqueror, a hyper conqueror. To think of yourself anything less than a conqueror is false humility. False humility is a lie from the enemy. It's actually sin. Let me help you with this. Pride, we know pride's bad, right? Pride is believing something about yourself that isn't true. Think you're better than you are. It's a lie. You believe something about yourself that isn't true. That's pride. We understand that, right? False humility is just as deadly. It's not believing something about yourself that is true. See, you're a conqueror. You were born with the power of Jesus Christ to overcome no matter what comes your way, no matter what hardship, what pain, what addiction, what depression, what anger, what issues, what divorce, what challenges, whatever comes your way, through Christ, we can be the victor and we can overcome. To not believe that is believing a lie. It's called false humility and it's sin. I think so many Christians, we don't fight. Where we think we're meek and mild, let's just let the enemy walk all over us. Let's just put up with whatever our lot is in life. No. You are called to be a conqueror. And to not live like a conqueror is not living according to the capacity that God has for you. And that's sin. It's a bit harsh, but it's the truth. I want to challenge us today. Every one of us, we are called to be a conqueror. Hupernikao, that's our name. Hupernikao. It's not survival. It's not just getting through life. It's winning. It's overcoming. Now, names matter in the Bible. Names have meaning. And God was very thoughtful and very intentional with the names he would give to people. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the fathers of our faith. Jacob means deceiver. God changed his name to Israel. Israel means prince of God. He changed his name. Why? Because names matter. Your name today is Hupernikao. No, it's not. My name's Miles. It's the name I've been given by my parents. That's my biological name, which means soldier, by the way. Pretty cool, huh? Unless you lose your life on the battlefield, then it's not so cool. But soldier is what Miles means. But my true name is Hupernikao. That's my God-given name. I'm an overcomer. You have a name, Hupernikao. You are an overcomer. That's your name. That's who you are. That's who you're to be. So when we do our meet and greet next week with our 60 seconds, just say, hey, my name's Hupernikao. Hey, I'm Hupernikao. We're cousins, distant brother. Or be cool, say, hey, my name's Hooper, whatever. You can shorten it up. But we are Hupernikao. We are more than a conqueror. That's your name. There are privileges when you understand your name. And today I want to share those privileges. My last name is Paludan. There were some privileges as a little boy growing up with Paludan because my dad was a boss. He ran a company about 300 or 400 ladies worked for him in a manufacturing plant. He would manufacture disposable surgical supplies. And being a little paludan, the boss's son, the only boy, I thought I owned the place. And I acted like it. And they all hated me, but that still didn't stop me from getting whatever I wanted out of the fridge and walking into the office. And one day I found these syringes. Awesome. So I filled them up with water and started squirting all the staff. They didn't think it was awesome. So I put them in my pocket and I went to school. And my mates would line up to get in the classroom. I'd just in this area. So they thought they had, you know, peed themselves. It was the funniest thing ever. But the teacher didn't think it was very funny. But I did, and they loved it. And so they wanted these syringes. So I said, well, how much? I started selling syringes at school. True story. There were these big ones that were 50 mils. You could squirt them from the back of the classroom and get the teacher. You're judging me now, eh? I was off the rails a little bit, but I was only in grade 5. And so I would sell these things, like, for making all this money. It was a privilege being a paludan. I'd go back and top them back up again during the week and sell them at school until over the loudspeaker.
There's somebody selling syringes. Come to the principal's office.
My privileges only went so far. The principal's cane, I got the cane, was bigger than my privileges. But the point I'm trying to make, you have privileges. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Your sins are forgiven. You blow it today, you ask God to forgive you, He'll forgive you and cast it as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. There are privileges, and one of them is you are a conqueror. Because Christ has gone before you. He is victorious, as we sang. He's overcome the grave, and we have that name. Now, I'm not saying you won't have hard times and troubles. In fact, John 16, 33, Jesus says, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart today, I have overcome the world. And because I've overcome it, Jesus says, you can too, because you are more than a conqueror. We're not defined by what we think, what has happened to us. We are not victims. Where it's not because of governments, it's not because of family, it's not because of situations. We are defined by who we are in Christ Jesus, and we are more than a conqueror. Hooper Nakaho, a hyper conqueror. That's your name. Do you believe it? You're a conqueror. You may have had stuff happen to you. You may have stuff that will happen to you. Never forget, you can overcome no matter what comes your way. I'm going to teach you two truths how to live as a conqueror this morning. The first one is we're going to fight. That's the first thing. We're going to fight. Too often we don't fight. Man, I'm sick of Christians that don't fight. If anything worth fighting about, it's worth fighting about our eternity and other people's eternity. We're not just here to be steamrolled over, taken advantage of, walked on. No. We're here to fight, and we fight with conquering thoughts. You can write that down. We fight with conquering thoughts. Joyce Meyer wrote an incredible book. I urge every one of you to read it. I actually got the teenager's version for our kids. It's so powerful. It's called Battlefield is in the Mind. And we have an enemy. His name is Satan. Not people, Satan. And we war against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, right? So we have an enemy. His name is Satan. We're fighting for eternity. Heaven and hell couldn't be greater. Not just our lives, but others. The battlefield is where? Where's the battlefield? This thing here. The battlefield is in the mind. This is where the war takes place. If we're going to have victory as a conqueror over circumstances, situations, we have to understand the battlefield is in the mind. One day the Israelites were at war with the Philistines, and there were two thoughts going on that day in the Israelite camp. One was positive and one was negative. And there's only one person who chose the right thought. Let's have a look in Scripture, 1 Samuel 17:11. When Saul, the king of Israel, and the Israelites heard this, that's their hearing the taunting of Goliath. If you're new to church, in the Old Testament, they would often put their best warrior out. Whoever won that war, they would win the battle, and you would submit to that nation. So the Philistines put out this 9-foot giant called Goliath. He's taunting, trying to find an opposition and someone to oppose him, but nobody would. They were terrified and deeply shaken. And that's how we act as Christians. We can be terrified and deeply shaken when we face our kids are running away from God. When we face a downturn in the economy, when we face a loved one maybe having challenges physically, health issues, when we face addictions, when we face depression, what do we do? So often we face that enemy, we are terrified and deeply shaken. And I think it's just so easy and it's so natural for us to think the worst. We just think negative thoughts. They say you've got to have one positive thought to outweigh three negative thoughts. And negative thoughts come so often. We always think the worst. Well, what don't we have? What are we missing? Where are we falling short? We think, don't we? We think negative thoughts. So last week, Finn, 10-year-old, my boy, gets in trouble at school again. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So my mind goes negative. Darn it, those teachers, they know that I am a pastor. Some of them come to my church. And now they're going to stop coming. Because how can they come to a church with a pastor who can't lead his family? Not only that, they're going to tell Ross. And Ross is going to fire me. Because if I can't lead my family, how am I going to lead my church? And I'm thinking, darn, if I get fired, where am I going to get a job? And I'm not going to be able to do what I love. And then Finn, man, I'm going to get so mad at him. I might punch him out or something. And then I'll go to jail. And he'll end up on drugs and be at schoolies. And some red frog will have to save him. And I'm thinking, the kid's 10 years old. He got in trouble for talking. Can you calm down a little bit? Take it down a notch. It's going to be okay. So talk positive thoughts. Well, this is an opportunity for him to learn, isn't it? This is a way that he can maybe grow and realize he stepped over the boundary and he's now got to correct himself. This is a way that I can teach him that the way to pick up 50 papers is to get a piece of paper folded in half 6 times, tear it down the lines. You got 50 papers. I taught that to him. So this is an opportunity to learn, to grow. Where does your mind go? Well, my spouse borrowed my car. It's not your car anyway, but she borrowed it and they didn't put petrol in it. They never put petrol in that car. And the worst thing is when they borrow my car, they put McDonald's wrappers in it, you know, and they make a mess in it. They didn't clean it up. And man, I bet you they're going to make a mess in my car this time because they did last time. So here's what I'm going to tell them when they get home. I'm going to have a whole plan of things I'm going to say. You don't appreciate me. You don't value me. You take advantage of it. It's my car. I paid the insurance. And you build all this stuff up in your mind and they haven't even borrowed your car yet. I'm just saying what you think, all right? I'm just putting it out there. Don't judge me. We think negative. Our mind goes. We create this big story. And I got to realize today, the battlefield's in the mind. We have to understand that our thoughts are powerful. David thought differently, verse 26. He says, who is this pagan Israelite anyway that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this addiction or worry or anxiety or my downturn in the economy or my boss? Who do they think they are that they're bigger than God? No, my God is bigger. My God can do anything. He started to think positive, right, godly thoughts. Verse 37. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear, he'll rescue me from this Philistine. My God has come through for me in the past. I've had hard times in the past and I've seen God's faithfulness every single time. He's never abandoned me in the past. Why would he abandon me today? Now my God's shown up. I'm going to take captives those thoughts. I'm going to make them obedient and submissive to the scripture. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. And we make it what? Captive every thought. Who makes it captive? Your pastor? Your spouse, your kids, God. No, no. Our responsibility. Here's this one truth. I pray you'll get this today. Out of everything, I pray you'll get this. This may be the hinge that changes everything for you. I know it did for me. You choose your thoughts. They don't choose you. You have the power to choose your thoughts. The battlefield in the mind, but you control what you think. Not someone else. You're not a victim, not a government, not a job, not another person, not a social media, not a post. No. You, that's going to sink into somebody today. You control your thought. You're stinking thinking. That's your choice. I really try and instill this into my kids. I just hate whining. I hate whining. I cannot stand it. I said this in the last service, and I get emotional when I say it. I hate whining. Four rules, Paleo Dan family, love God, love others, no whining, have fun. But the whining one seems to be five kids in that car on the way to King's every morning. Well, he pushed me. I haven't got my lunch. I lost my shoes. You know, I haven't got the right uniform. I'll be in detention all day. King's, they put you in concentration camp. You wear the wrong shoes. That's a whole other message. And so I'm like, man, hey guys, stop your whining. And so here's what I do to them. Can I do something today? Can you give me a bit of freedom here? Can I do to you what I do to my kids? Is that okay? I'm not treating you less than. I respect, I honor every one of you, but it's a very simple technique that might help you. You ready? Here's what I say to my kids when they're whining. Can you raise your right hand, Finn? Raise your right hand. Can you all raise your right hand? Just raise your right hand. Okay, put your right hand down. Wow. All right, Sam, can you raise your left hand? Raise your left hand. Can you raise your left hand? Raise your left hand. Like, wow. All right. Jaden, can you smile? Come on, can you smile? Come on. I can see you smile. You can do it, can't you? You can smile. You choose your behavior. You choose to whine. And you choose your thoughts today. Nobody chooses them for you. You choose your thoughts. We have the ability through God's word to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm preaching, I get it. I'm preaching at you, but I'm preaching at me too. This week, we came up with an idea to combine our Christmas service. Christmas Eve, we're going to get together at Tweed. That all Varsity and Tweed will join together Christmas Eve. That was the idea. Me, I'm thinking, that's never going to work. That's a stupid idea, Locke. What are you thinking? Half of the staff are away. No one wants to drive an extra 15 minutes. And then my mind goes, and then they get to Tweed and it's got new carpet and new bathrooms. It's got a building that's four times the size. They're going to love it so much. And Locke, you're probably a better pastor than me anyway because you care and love people. The next thing is they're going to stay at Tweed. Everyone's going to not come back to Varsity. And Locke's going to have revival at Tweed. Next thing, he's going to be promoted. He's going to be my boss. He knows I love surfing. He's going to ban me from surfing during work hours. And with a pastor, there is always work hours. It never stops. I'll never surf again. And so your mind plays out these ridiculous thoughts, right? Don't you all judge me like you're holy and you wouldn't think something like that. Yet imagine the other side. Let's go positive. 1,200 believers gathered together, screaming out carols to our King, worshiping, impacting, having faith, God moving. What about if we all joined together on Christmas Eve at our Tweedler? How cool would that be for our kids to step in and see this thing that's big and production amazing, and they're like, whoa, this church thing's awesome, and they bring their friends and people get saved. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? You control what you think. You can't get beyond your thoughts. You think you're going to have a lousy and negative life? You're going to have a lousy negative life. You think everything's hopeless? It's going to be hopeless. You think you're going to be always having a lack and never having any money and always in debt and woe is me? And all that. That's what you're going to... Your thoughts determine your behavior. We're going to fight. It's a fight. It's not easy. We got to capture those thoughts. It's a fight with conquering thoughts. The second and the last thing is this. We're going to fight with conquering words. We're going to fight with conquering, not our words, but God's words. See, the battlefield is in the mind. The ammunition is God's word. That's why we've got to get scripture in us every day. Read something. Just read something in that Bible. Don't go to the battlefield without any ammo. Be stupid. We go out through life without any ammo. Wonder why we're getting beaten up. It's a war. And our fight is not with flesh and blood, but it's in our minds with principalities and powers of darkness. We fight with conquering words. They triumphed over him, Revelations 12:11. That's they, the Christians, over him, that's Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus and what? And the words of their testimony. Hooper Nakaho, a hyper conqueror. That's you. You're a winner. You're a victoria. You're going to have success. Why? Because of your thoughts and your words. But so many people live a life that's faithless because they lose the battle in their mind. They don't have those godly words. Instead of saying, I can't, God's word says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's impossible. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. I don't have enough faith. The Bible says all you need is faith of a mustard seed. I'll never be good enough. No, you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You're a new creation. The old has gone. Lay a hold of God's words. Mark 11:23. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes it, what he says, it will happen. It will be done for him. I don't believe this is talking about a physical mountain. Hey, tambourine, get into Fingal. Hey, we're talking about. This is talking about mountains, Goliaths in your life, addictions, worries, anxieties, bullying, unforgiveness, lustful thought. This is dealing with issues that are fighting us and preventing us from running at 120, not keeping us at 80 kilometers an hour. As the keys come and we close today, one of the biggest fights of my life was about 10 years ago. And there were some words, five words that were spoken that kept me in the game. That's why this message is so real for me. I left the business world and went into the church world, pastoring. Big transition. It's almost hard to explain. It's very, very difficult to lead volunteers, lead people. It's very emotional. It's relational. And there was just stuff in my life that I hadn't dealt with. And so when I came in to this role as a pastor, I just walked over the top of people, hurt people, made some tough decisions. I had 20 staff. I turned them over in 18 months. I mean, it was just I didn't know any different, all right? I hard, fast business background, and so I just brought that in, and it didn't work. And so the boys pulled me aside. It was a big church. It was the fastest growing church in America, most innovative. And they said, we want you to resign. And I'm like, what? And for me to say that now, it's kind of easy, but brings back a lot of pain, because I'd gone all into this thing. I didn't have a plan B. Changed my visa. I was living in the States. And to be fired means I'm done. It's over. I'm packing up. I'm leaving. I'm not know where I'm going. And I'm like, oh, shoot. God, I thought, God. And it just devastated me. I went over to my mate's house that afternoon, Craig. And I said, mate, you know, here's what's happening. He says, yeah, I know. I heard they were going to talk to you. I said, what do you think? And he said some words that changed everything. He said, I think it's in you. I think it's in you. Just a couple words. That gave me the confidence. That gave me the hope that God could work in my life. That it wasn't over. That I could be a conqueror. And that started a journey where I went to a counselor and had narcissism issues and selfish issues. Just a whole lot of baggage. We've all got it. And God started to do a work. And he's still doing it. He's still doing it. But I learned a lesson that with Christ, we can overcome anything. That we're not victims. The enemy is not greater. No. Whatever you face, that divorce, that abandonment, that wrong financial deal, that it's not over. Your life's not ended. You can be a conqueror. That's your name. Hupanakahu, that's who you are. And as I hang on to those words, God started to work in me and build me. And this message I preach to you, but I preach to me. Because I know the battlefield is in the mind. It's with my thoughts and with my words. And I'm still dealing with it. I'm still fighting it. It's easy to go negative. It's easy to pull back. It's hard to press in and fight. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to fight. Don't settle back. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lay down on that battlefield. There's too much at stake. There's your family. There's eternities. There's other people's lives. Fight with your words. We had to rent a 3-bedroom unit while our house was being built right now, and some negative words started coming out, and I'm kind of a negative word Nazi, and I'm like, we're going to be positive about this. Even if it's a bad decision, we're still going to be positive. And I'm like, oh, I've got to walk up 3 flights of stairs. No, we get to work out every day, you know. So high, we'll get a better view, you know. It's 4 kids in 1 bedroom, 4 boys, that's child abuse. No, it's bonding time. Bonding. We're bonding together, you 4 boys. Now, like it. It's positive words. Oh, I've got to share the pool. Man, you get to share your faith. Jet, go down and find someone and invite him to church. So Jet runs on down and I found this guy. His name's Kai. Oh, that's great. Did you bring him to youth? No. Well, go back down. Okay. So he runs off. 6 years old. He's the only one that does anything I say anymore. The others just roll their eyes. Dad, you're an idiot. So he invites him to church. The kid comes to youth and gets saved. It's your words. It's your words. It's your thoughts and your words. You are more than a conqueror. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who we are, not determined by what's happened in the past or what people have done to us. It's determined by what your word says about us. Hupanakahu, we are more than a conqueror. For those who are beaten down right now, you're like on the battlefield, you lost a leg, lost an arm, but you're still breathing, you're hanging in there. Let me encourage you today. God has more for you. You are an overcomer. I don't feel like an overcomer. Well, the battle hasn't ended. It's like a Rocky movie. You may be in round 15 and you're getting beaten to a pulp, but it's not over. You're wearing out the enemy. It's your time is coming. With your thoughts and your words, you can overcome any circumstance, situation, or person. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, teach us who we are in Christ. Teach us false humility is a sin. Teach us to lay down and to quit is not acceptable in the army of Christ. We are to fight for righteousness. We are to fight not against people. We're to fight for people. And we fight for people with our thoughts and our words. Father, stir us. There's more. There's victories. We can defeat these Goliaths. We can overcome what we're facing. Father, you have greatness in each one of us. It's Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That our story has not been told. Our story will be determined on the thoughts and the words we say. Help us to line them up with your scripture and your word.